Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Stephanie Martin, in for Rachel Miro. Aviation investigators are trying to determine what caused two planes to collide in midair over Riverside County, killing at least five people. The small Cessnas collided near the Corona Municipal Airport yesterday afternoon, about 45 miles southeast of Los Angeles. Two people from each plane were killed. One person on the ground also died after debris from the planes crashed into an auto dealership. The top editor at the Los Angeles Times is leaving his job after just 14 months at the paper. In a report on the Times website, James O'Shea says he was forced out for disagreeing with a plan to slash the newsroom budget by $4 million. O'Shea is the third Times editor to leave the newspaper since 2005. The foreclosure crisis sweeping the nation and the state is taking a heavy toll on the Latino community. Over the past several years, many Latinos bought into the American dream using subprime loans. Those loans cater to people with poor credit or no credit history at all. Tara Seiler reports.
La cocina. Hay un baño aquí. Abajo.
Elizabeth Martinez is giving a tour of her spacious home in a working-class neighborhood in Richmond. She made the purchase using a $430,000 loan with no down payment. She's been a cleaning woman since she left El Salvador looking for a better life.
Tengo 17 años en este país y mi sueño era una casa.
I've been in this country for 17 years and my dream was to own a house. But sadly, my dream is gone because the mortgage went up and I can't make the payments.
Ahora no puedo pagar los pagos.
Martinez has now fallen 4 months behind on her mortgage payments. Still, for 2 years, she and her fiancé, a restaurant worker, managed to cobble together the $2,400 a month payment, at times renting out rooms. But last fall, her adjustable mortgage shot up to a staggering $3,600 a month. Originally, her loan broker told her the increase would not be a problem.
Cuando terminaron los dos años, yo dije,
after 2 years, I asked her what was going to happen, and she told me, your payments will go up, but you can refinance. Then later, I spoke with her, and she said I couldn't refinance.
Después seguí hablando con ella y me dijo de que no podía refinanciar.
Sitting at her kitchen table, Martinez shuffles through a stack of warning letters from the bank threatening to foreclose. These and all her loan documents are in English. Like so many immigrants, she didn't know her broker was legally supposed to provide the loan papers in her native Spanish. Her confusion and stress is so great, she says she's not eating and not sleeping. And now, thinking of her future, she's suddenly overwhelmed.
¿Te sabe cómo yo trabajo?
You know how hard I work, and now we have nothing. We put all our money in this house, all for nothing. I was hoping to help my daughters. I don't want to live like this.
Martinez is one of thousands of Latinos trapped in the subprime loan crisis. She was an unknowing target of an aggressive campaign by the lending industry to get minorities, even those with little or poor credit, into the housing market.
We know that roughly 4 out of 10 Latino borrowers end up in a subprime loan in California.
That's more than twice the rate of white borrowers, says Paul Leonard, director of the California Office of the Center for Responsible Lending. Leonard says the problem facing Latinos used to be redlining, outright discrimination by lenders.
And in just 10 or 15 years, the pendulum has swung way too far, where the conventional wisdom in the industry is that if you could fog a mirror, you could get a loan. And that was particularly true of minority borrowers.
And for Latino borrowers, cultural and language barriers made them particularly vulnerable to unscrupulous brokers. Rebecca Gallardo Serrano is with the National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals.
So part of it is a lack of knowledge in the area of home ownership. Part of it is not using the traditional banking system and credit card system. And part of it is just turning, in fact, to realtors or lenders who they believe are trustworthy by a referral basis and not getting necessarily served well at the end of the day.
In communities across the country, housing counselors are now inundated with cases from people just like Elizabeth Martinez.
Why don't we come in here and sit down, and I'll be right with you guys, okay?
Maria Benjamin is with the Community Housing Development Corporation of North Richmond, a group that helps low-income people with housing needs. As she sits down to hear Martinez's story, Benjamin tries to offer some assurance.
You're not alone at all. It's a crisis. It's a big, huge problem. And it's affecting people like us, people that are low-income people and families, and the Latina population. It really is affecting.
But Martinez doesn't seem assured.
Pero yo quiero saber qué va a pasar con los impuestos.
She wants to know about the thousands of dollars she owes in property taxes. Is it true she could be locked out of her home? Could she even be thrown in jail? Benjamin tells her not to worry.
Have you spoken with your lender?
No, yo tengo miedo a hablar con el banco.
Don't be scared. No, really. That's really the only way that they have to help you. And if you don't want to talk to them, that's also what we can help you with.
Okay.
Martina seems relieved by this, but Benjamin warns her not to raise her hopes.
People that we are trying to help in your situation lose their homes every day. And so you have to know that we're not the saviors, but sometimes we can hold things up and sometimes we can work with the lender to modify your loan.
Yet Benjamin adds the payments for this house will always surpass the income Martinez brings in as a cleaning woman. Ultimately, Martinez decides she doesn't want the stress anymore, and she doesn't want the house.
I just want to be left in peace. For 2 years, the money I worked so hard for, I've thrown the garbage. But I'm strong. My God is going to give me strength to keep working.
Martinez also realizes it will take years to rebuild her damaged credit. Paul Leonard of the Center for Responsible Lending says the economic costs of foreclosures represent a huge setback for the Latino community.
We think that the subprime crisis, as it will play out over the next few years, could represent the largest loss of wealth, of minority wealth, in the United States in its history.
Government intervention could stem some of these losses by freezing interest rates or modifying loans, but such options won't help people like Elizabeth Martinez, who have fallen behind on their payments because they could never afford the house they purchased in the first place. She will simply have to accept her losses and place the American dream on hold, probably for a long time. For the California Report, I'm Tara Seiler.
That's the California Report for Monday, January 21st, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Stephanie Martin. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year. Online at cahealthreformnow.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.